Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Sum of You show. My name is Elisa.
My name's Liz. Hey, darling.
Good morning.
Morning. So you sent me a text to let me know that we have two callers in the queue. So I think that's what we should, how we should get started.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. I think I know who this first caller is. Is that you,
Hello.
Brittany? Hey,
yes,
Brittany.
How are y'all?
Okay.
Doing well.
What's going on, Brittany?
Well, just taking it one day at a time. You know, a few things happen, but I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'll call in for a message.
Okay. All right. I'm ready when you guys are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm ready when you guys
okay.
are.
So it's the number for this message, Elisa, is 915. Okay, here's your message. The cracks in the foundation of your energetic field are a gift, as they provide the space and opportunity to release, for release, clarity, and transformation. So what I'm getting from this message, Brittany, is that sometimes we tend to want to breeze through the things that are perhaps perceived as flaws or not quite perfect or not quite the way that we'd like, where I think this message is saying that those perceptions of imperfection or those things that are less than pleasant are really the things to provide the opportunity for release, clarity, and transformation. And I feel energetically that sometimes you tend to kind of want to just, you know, breeze by the less than pleasant parts. But that's and I think I do this with you on the air sometimes where I'm like, slow it down. Hello, what happened? You know what I mean? Like, where's the fire? Where just to really see that as an opportunity as opposed to something unpleasant or something wrong or something bad, because it's neither any of those things. Does that make sense?
Yes. I can agree with that. But, you know, like I say, you know, I'm just pushing through everything. And,
but you push through it, but... And again, it's to push through it, but to embrace it.
Yeah.
That's the missing part. And I'm going to turn this over to Elisa to see what brilliance comes out of her mouth today.
Well, the interesting thing with this sequence is it started with a 9. It was a 915. And the 9 is about endings, but also endings because you've moved on to the next thing. You know, or you're about to move on to the next thing. 9 is the end of a cycle of 1 through 9. So it doesn't mean you start back at square one, but it means that you bring with you all the experiences, you know, positive and negative, or seemingly positive or negative. Anything that happens, you bring it with you in terms of what you've learned. Because 9 also is a higher level teaching number. There are things that you have experienced that it's not that you want to go out and teach other people necessarily, but it may be that because of your experiences, you can offer some insight to other people who are going through it. And because you've gone through it, you can empathize with them. You know what they're going through. And you may not have all the answers. You can only tell them what your experience is, but that can also be a great help, a great source of comfort to other people. So that 9 is important because it brings with it this experience and wisdom, and really that the wisdom comes from as Liz says, you know, embracing, not just pushing through, but also embracing what that whole experience has meant to you, and the way we seem to work in this dimension is that the things that are really, really difficult are the things that stand out to us the most. I could talk about walking on the beach for hours and I'll lose all track of time, but I'll also tell you if I have to hike a mountain, how either unpleasant it was, usually a combination of unpleasant and thank God I got to the top. You know, there's a lot more to say because there's a lot more that is challenging you. So those are things that, it's interesting because I think every time we've talked to you since probably those first few times, we kind of got you out of telling just a story and kind of repeating the same with the same energy or the same vibration. But it doesn't mean to just erase it out of, you know, I'm not going to talk about it at all. It means also, in a sense, reframing what you've just experienced so that when you talk about it, you're not stuck in it necessarily, but you're showing signs that you're working through it. And a lot of times people call us in a sense just to do that because they haven't had a chance to talk about it with anybody without those people who know them so well saying, oh, well, you don't know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's usually not enough time to even get that part out to kind of work through it. And a lot of times we like to offer that kind of space. But, you know, as you know, we'll call you out on it if you're really just stuck on a loop. We'll try to get you out of it, too, so we can move into what's really going on. What are some of the other bigger factors here? So when we look at the sequence and that message, the 915, that 9, very important because it shows that you are moving through it. And it's never like so nice and tidy that, you know, whenever that one period starts, then, you know, it's never so like, dude, we're done. You know, we're done with everything. There's usually a little bit of overlap. And I talk about this in terms of personal years. When you go from, you know, whatever, from a 9 to a 1 or even from a 7 to an 8, when your birthday comes around, whatever your personal year is, it's never on that day or even the beginning of the new year, everything's fresh and new and everything feels completely different. We transition through these periods. So to go from a 9, which is endings, you know, bigger perspective, bigger picture, to the 1, which is about new beginnings, those new beginnings kind of start in different layers. You know, mentally we're ready, but physically we're not. Or physically we're ready and mentally we're not. You know, there's so many things that have to catch up, and it's never so neat and tidy. But it is part of our experience. The one thing I'm getting is that, like, as an example, when we start school, we think, you know, we should do this every semester, not just every year, but every semester. Oh, man, this semester is going to be the best. I pick the classes I want. I'm so excited. And then you get to that first class, and you're like, man, some of these classes are not what I expected. You know, it's not what I, you know, like the professor, there are all these different variables. But you go in with this feeling of high hopes and expectations, and everything's going to be just right. You know, that's it's incredibly positive. And then the reality comes in, and you're like, wow, I really don't like the way this is going. Or, you know, and a lot of times you have a period where you can change it, you know, without it costing, you know, a lot of money or a setback in your credits. But you have to figure out how to work through it, and you only have so much time. You know, you'll know whether it worked out or not. You'll know either you're still in the class and you have a grade that you can live with, or you're not, and you still have to deal with the consequences of that. So when we get to that last number in the sequence, the 5, that it's still about change and transformation. You know, you still have to look through and whether you make what you think is the right decision or not. Even a non-decision ends up being a decision. You're still left with, you know, you're still left with you ultimately. And what are you going to do? Because it's interesting. It's not about getting the answer right. No one's really grading you on it. The other people can judge you on it. That's still not the same thing. They're not living your existence. But when you go through, you can say, well, I probably could have chosen something different, or because of this, I'll have to choose something different. There's still always changes to be made and adjustments to be made. And the more centered you are in who you are, it isn't even about what you want to tell other people necessarily, or how you think they're going to hear it. Although that's part of it, because everyone wants to feel like they're going to be heard and accepted. So I would say the next step in your evolution is when there is a situation or a time frame where you can let down your guard a little bit and talk about what's really going on, you'll actually be able to choose, the words and sentences that actually make sense and that are indicative of what you're going through. And it, in a sense, it moves you and your story, not that you get stuck in the story, but it moves your story along. Because now what you're doing is the way you speak about yourself is very different. And what you choose to share is very different. But it also isn't about, well, I'm going to keep it all held tightly in, because there's only so much you could do with that. Because a lot of stuff has to spill out. A lot of stuff has to come out at some point. Because sometimes your experiences are part of someone else's story. You know, it's part of their experience. And it would help them. I'm getting an image of, all the things you maybe didn't say to your mother, or to a family member that, years later in hindsight, wow, if we had just talked about that, over a cup of coffee or over dinner or something, it probably didn't have to build up to be so dramatic. But we were both, obviously, when you look at that bigger picture, we were both afraid. We were both afraid to share something. So there's so much to learn from these experiences, and even especially the most difficult ones. It's not meant for you to hold it and to bear it alone, because chances are you're not in it alone vibrationally. Other people are sort of probably doing the same type of thing. And a lot of it has to do with fear and vulnerability and being honest and not taking away that experience of somebody else by calling them on it necessarily. But if you add up all those numbers, like I said, that sequence 915, that's still a 6. Mm-hmm. It ends up being a 6, which is about a loving number. It's being very gentle and loving and understanding and compassionate. So it's not about you figuring it all out on your own and then emerging as perfect Brittany, in your eyes, or hopefully getting that from somebody else's perception of you. But it's just being who you are and being very honest and authentic. And also pulling out that sense of being very loving, not only to yourself, but as a result to other people. And that's why when you look back at what's going on, you can really see. It's not even about you having to tell the story or about how far you've come. Just you showing up and sharing, people can tell. And you'll know. You'll know because the way you feel isn't so much, I hope people don't see the cracks in my armor. It's, you say, hey, I earned the cracks in this armor. I went through it and I'm still here. I'm still here talking to you. I'm still here enjoying life. I'm doing the best I can, and I have things to look forward to. And I'm also, working through some things, but I have, there's evidence that there's life to be enjoyed versus life to be feared. So anyway, that's what I
work. Yes. Goodness. That was very good. Brittany, you should download the show, because that was so spot on and really explaining the beauty and the attraction of grace. It's what makes you interesting. You know?
Yes, ma'am.
That makes you very interesting. All right. Well, we're going to take our next caller, and thank you so much. But sit with that, and I really recommend that you download the show and listen to what both of us said. And I think we both said the same thing, but in very different styles. And I think those bookends will serve you quite nicely.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, darling. Yep.
Take care, Brittany.
That is humbling. That was great work.
I just. that was just me. That was just flowing through. I don't know.
That was beautiful.
I had breakfast, had a sip of water. So,
girl.
But 915 is an interesting combination, and knowing what we know of Brittany and how strong she is, really, how strong she is, and seeing and hearing the growth. But there's always a next step. You know, there's always that.
There's always a butt that we have to like plow through, and the butt is where you really have to pay attention. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, it is an evolution. It's we never know. Like, we can't just put on a calendar, okay, this on this date I will step forward and shine through and be amazing on all these different areas. You just don't know when it's going to happen. But when you're aware of it and you acknowledge it, that adds more fuel to the fire in terms of I am doing this.
I'm living it, and life is an adventure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's it. And it's just, things don't matter in the same way, literally.
You're less
dealing with matter, but you're dealing with what, with the unseen. It really doesn't matter. And when you get that, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Let's take our next caller.
Let's do area code 412. Good morning. You're on there. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Jessica.
Oh, Jessica. Hey.
Hey,
girl.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, my God. You sound different. Doesn't she sound different? Do you have a cold?
Horrible allergies. Horrible.
The
allergies are really getting me this season.
Because you're hearing your voice. You sound a little different. All right, what's going on?
I've been going through a lot of legal stuff, and I'm really concerned about the finances. Because of the legal, there hasn't been money coming in, and I'm hoping to get it corrected soon. And I have to move soon, but I don't have the money to move. So I just really wanted to see where things were with my finances.
What's your, I feel like this might have some numerological significance. What's your birthday, month and day for 11, Lisa?
11-22-68.
Okay, 11-22. But it seems like, as Lisa's on her abacus, there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack here. Jessica, and then you have like that energy of allergy where it's uncomfortable. Do you see, like, it's almost like this outward picture? It's, yes, it's environmental, we get it, but, you know, everything kind of symbolically leads us to our greater awareness. So you don't quite feel like yourself. Obviously, you didn't sound like you. It took me a minute. I'm like, oh, we have a first-time caller? And then I'm like, oh, no, it's Jessica.
No, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, my God. Doesn't she sound like the other Jessica?
She do sound like the other Jessica.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that funny? Okay, that's crazy. And the area code is, I guess, the same, slightly different?
Slightly different, yeah, slightly different. Well, that's fine. That's, you know, and that's interesting because you sound a lot like another caller who comes
another
in
here. Another Jessica.
Another Jessica. Okay, interesting.
But isn't that funny too that there's something going on? Does she have a cold and it's allergies? I don't know. She didn't sound exactly like Jessica, but enough and also vibrationally. And this is the exact way Jessica that you worded your situation is exactly how the other Jessica would have worded it. So now I need to, because it's a different
maybe
person.
Maybe she meditates as much as me.
Girl.
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, well, the first thing, because this is about you, that's funny. I love that you have a sense of humor. Okay, so right there, we're on a different track, which is beautiful. So the first thing, Jessica, is I need permission to connect to your energy, please.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is a different Jessica. Well, that's good. That's good. That's really good. Okay, so do me a favor, just take a deep breath in through your nose. I know you have allergies, if you can, out to your mouth. Okay. okay, this isn't as energetically, and I just pick up on the energy, and Elisa is going to pick up stuff energetically, but also through your numbers, but this isn't as monumental as it appears. So it's almost as if it looks like, and I don't know why I'm getting this image, but I get pictures and I just share them with the people, but it's almost like you think you're at the monument of Mount Rushmore and like, oh no, this is so big and so overwhelming, but it's really a photograph of a cardboard cutout. So you don't have to, it's almost like you wake up from a dream that's so vivid and you're like, okay, it was just a dream. Okay, okay, it's not my life. And I'm getting that same kind of energy that it's not. What's that noise? There's something
rain.
Going on. Is it raining?
Rain.
Okay.
Pouring.
Gotcha. But it's interesting. Why would I say Mount Rushmore? Is that South Dakota? Why would I even say that? Because I don't even know from. I'm in New York. I don't even know why I'm saying that. But it's not this. And I guess that. Okay, Lisa, you're like the academic here. I know that's a monument of presidents, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a bunch of faces.
Bunch of faces. Okay, so there's almost like there's different faces to the situation. There's different faces to the situation. And it's about you facing it. And it's not as monumental. Oh, how funny. It's not as monumental as you think.
Okay.
That's the energy that I'm getting with that. And there was a lot of things that you had presented. So you were talking about, was it a legal thing? Legal?
Yeah. It's a divorce and the ex who doesn't want to, who's hiding money and doesn't want to pay.
Girl. I just got my paper. Girl, I just got my papers the end of June. Okay. No.
Listen, I haven't been this happy in 18 years, but
who said I'm happy?
Break me.
Girl, who said I'm happy?
I'm so happy.
Girl, who said I'm
so happy?
No, that's what you, listen, girl, of course you're happy. But it's the reason why I'm saying it how I'm saying it, I'm going, girl, is because I know how deep and serious it is. Like, this is like real grown-up stuff. So, of course you're happy. When people ask me, or if my ex had asked me, are you happy? I say, I'm happier. Because there's a lot. It's complicated, you know. Are there children involved?
Three, and he is. That's the other half of the legal battle.
Yep.
He's trying to take them away from me just to punish me. He's using them as weapons and pawns.
Isn't that nice?
Like, badly.
Okay. So, there's a lot of faces to this, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And I don't know how many faces are on Mount Rushmore. I think at least four, right?
I think there are four.
Okay. Right. So that could really represent your three children and your husband. But this is not, this is an illusion. When there's children under 18, and I know you know this, even if both parties agree on everything. I mean, I don't know how it works in your state, but if there's children under 18, you still have to go before a judge so that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
And
right?
And my local judge is pretty somewhat corrupt, and I'm having to go to the Superior Court for custody of my kids.
Right.
But the money still is in her ball.
Well, the thing is, it's about I know what you're saying, and I don't mean to cut you off. Those are the facts, but we want to deal with the light of your truth, okay? Jessica, the light of your truth is, and how old are the children?
8, 11, and 13.
Okay, so those ages are very fragile. 13 is the age of my youngest. Very fragile. Ages. The thing is, when I walked into court, I knew I had nothing to prove. I knew that I was in my grace. and I had to turn. There was nothing really that I could do about it, but show up and believe enough in myself that making this choice, the choice to learn in this lifetime, the concept, the novelty of self-love, because I allowed myself to disappear in this marriage. That's by my doing. I'm not a victim.
Oh, I did the same thing. And ever since I left him, I meditate all the time, and I'm working to get me back. And part of that is my intuitive side.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is good. So what I'm saying is, this is the time for you to really tap into the unknown. This is the time for you to trust Source, to trust the love, to trust the relationship that you have with your children, and to energetically say to yourself and to the universe, I am putting down my weapons. I am not in battle anymore. I'm putting down my toys. I'm not playing. So it doesn't matter what his reasons are. It doesn't matter if there's the perception that the kids are being used as pawns. Usually when that happens, the parent doing it isn't aware of it. Somebody who actually the founder of Universal Energy Radio was going through something very parallel, where the ex is doing this whole power play for the kids and completely oblivious that it's a power play. Completely oblivious. So you can't get into somebody else's head. You can't get into the judge's head. You can't get into the facts that it's a corrupt situation. What you can do is to go into the light of your truth that is generated by Source and your connection to Source. So thank goodness you're meditating, because that, I'll tell you, that's what has saved me, is I meditate every day like brushing my teeth. As a matter of survival. So I totally support and understand that. But also, too, this is an incredible crisis of opportunity where you turn this into an opportunity to surrender to Source. You say, Source, just take this. And you deal with your truth, not with the facts. And you go to court, and you're well prepared. Do you have anybody who's advocating for you?
Yeah, now I do.
Okay. How do you feel about that person?
I think she's good. Her name's Crystal. I think that she's good. She just came on board in May. This has been going on almost 3 years.
Oh my God. See, they. No. That is such a nightmare, and it often comes down to the same conclusion. You know what I mean? And it's just all this time and money and effort. And I did something very risky, and I don't recommend it. But I filed in January, and I got my papers in June because I didn't ask for anything. And
yeah,
I'm on
disability, and he's hiding very large sums of money. I mean, it's bad. Mm.
But if you have a lawyer, if you have an advocate, and you have a lawyer, and, of course, she knows all of that, then she should be stealthy enough and smart enough to find, I mean, you can find out so many things about people. And right there, as the spouse of over 18 years, whatever you said it was, I mean, it's the law. I don't know what state you're in, but the law.
Pennsylvania.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know from Pennsylvania, but and what's your relationship like with your children?
Really good, but the judge ignored all evidence.
Don't give me
but.
No, let's talk about. We're not talking about the story. We're not talking about the story. Okay, let's focus on the truth. Okay, because you're really quick to let go of the truth. The truth, and I knew I could feel energetically that it was good. The relationship with your children is good. It's solid. It's the truth. It's pure. Yes or no?
Yes.
That's all you need to know. That's Source. Nobody, no law, no judge can touch it. You're giving a lot, and I get it, a lot of anxiety and misappropriated energy and power to things you can't control. Completely understandable, Jessica. Completely understandable. But I suggest that you shift your focus into the truth, because the anxiety about this, that, and the other, that is going to diminish your field and muddy the waters of your truth. You got to do the opposite. So that's great that you're meditating. I think it's also a form of prayer meditation because you're really stepping out of the facts and into the truth of the light. And we can't think about what's inside of your ex's head or the judge's head or anything else. There's a force for greater good, but that's the thing to hold on to, not to disprove or to question. It's the other way around. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. Miracles are possible. I'll give you an example of a miracle in my situation. So, you know, everything comes down to real estate. And I live in the heart of New York City, and people want to shoot me when they see my apartment, okay? And I got, and because I'm a native New Yorker, it's housing that's miraculous housing, meaning it's super affordable and enviable, and you can't get housing like this anymore. So, of course, the ex wanted to fight me on the apartment. Our youngest is 13, so he proposed that when our youngest is 18 that he can move back in. It got very contentious. And I just knew I had to surrender, figure out other options. And I said, okay, but if that's the case, then you're going to have to pay. If that's what you're saying, that you can just come back in. And I threw the numbers that he threw at me of what I owed him back in his face. And in 24 hours, and I was willing to, and I was sad. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to leave the country. I'm going to die someplace else. I'm going to have to leave my hometown, which I adore, in 5 quick years. But I surrendered. And I didn't surrender to him. I surrendered to the light because I didn't want it to get ugly, and I had to put the kids first. And that was it. And I would figure it out. Because I have resources and I have options, or I'm going to make resources and options for myself. 24 hours later, I got an email that said, you can have the apartment, no strings attached. Because that is the art of surrendering. Anytime I've truly surrendered, miracle, truly surrendered, like on my knees surrendering, like God take it, that's when space for miracles existed. And I'm going to flip this over to Elisa.
Oh, wow. Well, Jessica, I haven't been through a divorce, so. But what I'm getting from all of this, because having witnessed what Liz has gone through, and the founder of this whole station is my cousin, so also knowing what she's going through, a lot of times it's a waiting game because there are things that are just legally are not in your control because it's up to a whole process that well, which you're a part of. And it takes time. Like I wish it could be like, we see everything done. And within, you know, a couple of days we're all through it. It's all clear and everyone plays nice, but that is not how it happens. And so for you, it's been going on for what, 3 years, the whole process of
yeah, almost.
Yeah, God, poor
yeah.
Thing.
So yeah, so and you know, and again, I wish we could say, yeah, your legal issues are all going to go away, you know, it's all going to work out, because you know, ultimately we see it's going to work out for you. But it may not be pretty in the meantime. It may not just come out just so you know, so perfectly. But what you're doing, and we're going to be encouraging you, is what you're doing is doing your meditations and getting in a particular space that allows you a little bit of relief from those bigger issues. Because honestly, a lot of stuff that's happening is out of your control, because you in that process you put forth the information, the data, you know, that they need. You know, there's already a little issue with the judge. Who knows? Maybe something will change. But if you hold on to the facts of what's going against you, you it's harder to solve any kind of issue from that vibration. So the meditation is crucial for you, just for your own well-being, and hopefully it spills over into how the whole process works out for you. But when you are doing the things for you, for your own self-care, which probably you haven't had a chance to do in a long time, And I saw this with Liz, you know, the same thing, where she pretty much goes 24/7 because that's how she's wired. And that's also how she's been trained to do what she needs to do. And when she was able to take some time out for herself, and she ended up being bigger and bigger chunks of time. She took a retreat, like a long weekend retreat, which she's never really been able to do. But it was truly a retreat for healing. It continued to do wonders for her. So it's interesting how we think we logically want to get an answer, and in the most unexpected ways, an answer comes. And so that's why I'm really harping on the meditation, because anything you can do to get yourself in a higher state, in a better state, is going to help you in the long run, and not just for this issue. It's also showing your kids, you know, reminding them what a wonderful person you are, how strong you are. It shows them that they can also go through great turmoil. And as long as they have a centered space and they know who they are, they know what's true, which is something that Liz kept saying, what's the truth of the situation, then that's something that no one can take away from you. And that's a core of who you are. And that's why it's so important to cherish it, you know, to not just to protect it, not just to put walls around it, but to let it thrive and grow and give it the attention. A lot of times it's honestly just pure rest that we need, that we just don't think we can afford to do, but you can't not do it. I think most of us know, maybe we can dig back from our memories, what a full good night's sleep is like, or just feeling truly rested. And that, it's interesting because that doesn't take any energy at all, if anything, but the mental space to allow your body to relax. But when you do it, you know, it's not like you were also micromanaging how that was going to happen. You know, when you're sleeping, you're just sleeping. You're truly resting. And that's the simplicity of being able to do something like that, of being able to take care of yourself. It really does start with this intention and letting go. So all the things that Liz was talking about, a surrender, not to somebody else, but just like she said, to the light, is just trusting in stuff that, you know, you can't. If you were to do it in a human point of view, well, this needs to happen. These pieces need to shift over. He needs to change his mind. You know, this person needs to stop taking bribes. Or, you know, whatever the case may be, it's there's so much that you are trying to think through. And we all do this. We all want to work it out in our heads. And if only our reality would match what was in our heads, then it would be so much better. But, you know, just like you don't live in someone else's head, no one else lives in your head. So the only thing you can take care of is yourself, all of you, you know, just taking care of your mind as much as your body. And also given your birth date, I mean, it's a Sagittarius birth date. It's also from a card number, like we have these playing cards. It's a heart number. It's like a jack of hearts. So the emotional part is so much more powerful for you. But you're also a fire sign. So when we blend all this stuff together, you know, you're not going to give up without a fight. But your biggest power here is this, the ability to love. And this needs to be for yourself. You know, you can do it for other people, and it's your own nature to do that. But this period of time is like showing you. Not, it's interesting. The phrase tough love comes up, but it's tough love for yourself. It's almost like having to love yourself can be so tough because you feel a lot responsible, and maybe thinking, well, I can't afford these things yet, and so you get into the logic of it. But like I said, getting a good night's sleep or just resting doesn't cost you anything. But it can reap huge dividends just for your own well-being. And that's the only thing that you're in charge of. I mean, that's I can only break it down so much, but this is partly why the meditation has appealed to you and why you still do it. But it's sacred time for you. It's sacred healing time for you. And while some answers may come because you know, more than likely if you do some meditation, there's some questions that come up, and in doing these these meditations, you know, you loosen yourself up a little bit, and sometimes there will be answers that come, and stuff, you know, you start working on your intuition, so stuff is coming to you. Let that be your partner, and so you work with that. You work with what comes in, and it's not about you directing everything out, you know, because it's too much to try to have everyone fall in line with what you want to do. But there's a lot of, I don't know how to word it. There's a sense of calm when there is someone who is calm and calming. Then the waters aren't so choppy that you're just trying to, you know, doggy paddle to keep your head above water. When there's a calmness to it, you can actually pay attention. And it's not even a forced paying attention. You're just much more alert. And yep. and the stuff comes to you. And it's I don't know how else to explain it, but I feel like that will do wonders for your well-being and also just for how you move through this life. Because this is a big challenge. You know, what you're doing right now, it's a huge one. It's important, though. There's a reason for all that stuff to come up the way it's come up. And for your spirituality to play a part in how you're going to move forward, that's huge. So you know, we ask people to have a question, and that's great. And we know that's what's going on with you. But you'll see that a lot of times the answers to your questions are not necessarily straight line logical. That's how it has to happen. But it's bigger picture logical, because if you're not taking care of you to the best of your ability, then that's actually the biggest thing, not the divorce or all the stuff that comes with it, but long term for your life, that's important. You know, taking care of you, knowing how to take care of you on all your different levels, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, which seems to factor in a lot more for all of us. You know, it's like that's like the priority, but it ends up being very different when you look at the priority of your whole life and who you are. Financially kind of tends to work itself out, and you end up reprioritizing. So I hope that helps. I know you're not done yet. Obviously you're not done yet, but the things that you can do and knowing what you're in charge of can be a relief in some ways once you, in a sense, surrender to that. Because, in a sense, you've really always been taken care of. I mean, it may not be like, eating bonbons and my son's rich and famous, but you've always been taken care of in some way. And so a lot of times faith is taking that next step in a step of unknown territory and hoping that the ground is going to be there to support you. And, you know, even the allergies, you know, that stuff just getting to you, whether it's, even if it's, you know, nature, even if it's like a seasonal allergy, it's like, wow, stuff is really getting to me and I'm running myself down. And so taking care of myself, all of it leads back to taking care. And I would say that was the same for Liz.
Yep.
You know, if Liz like doesn't take, not that she doesn't try to take care of herself, but it's not her nature to do it for herself. And she's learning that has to.
I almost died.
To do it for herself.
Oh, no, it was bad. It was bad, and it takes everything out of you. And surrender was really a matter of survival. So
that's how I feel.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. So surrender. So thank God you're meditating, because it definitely has kept me going. The bridge to despair is so like a soap bubble. It's so invisible and so fragile that we can go down that rabbit hole of despair really quick and then start thinking some really crazy bad things. So you got to always be very mindful of being in the light, and please be very mindful of not going into suppositions about what's in the minds of people. That you can only be in the mind of yourself and your soul, and that's it. So always bring it back to the light and just say, source, spirit, whatever you believe in, Jessica, just I give it to you. I mean, there was a time where things were so bad. My youngest son was at risk. and I was afraid for his life. My older son kind of abandoned me, and I was in my hallway convulsing. And it was like one of many very low points. I had bouts of homelessness because I couldn't be in the same space as my ex, and there was times where he was refusing to leave. It was so humbling. So humbling, but I embrace that scar tissue.
That's how I've been for the last 2 years.
Yeah,
and,
I get it.
And, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm at the tail end.
Yes, you are.
But yeah, I'm in the same exact space, or was in that space.
Right.
And now I feel actually pretty light about things. It's
You're
just
doing
now,
much better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not as monumental, and it's weird. If Mount Rushmore or South Dakota or anything has any significance, please call the show and let us know. But I feel that that the image is that but because crazy things come in my mind all the time. But it's not as monumental as you think. It's a postcard. It's a bad dream. You don't have to scale this mountain of illusion and faces. And you know, and it's interesting because those four images. It's almost like it's presidential. So it's like authority, it's the law, it's the judge, it's the legal system. It could represent those things too. You got this. If you stay in the truth and you just focus on the love that you have with your children as the most powerful force of all, you're going to be fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to pick up a business call. Be right back.
Well, I would say good luck to you on this. I mean, it's a process for you.
Okay.
But that you can say you feel light helps a lot. I think that just shows, yeah, I feel lighter about it. Because you've gone through some stuff, obviously. You've been going through it. And you've also been trying to take care of it. This is like a reminder. Like, don't get off track. Don't fall into despair.
Right.
Even though it seems like nothing's going to work out, you'd be surprised. Because sometimes if you look, they're showing me like the bigger picture. If you look at everything, if you can look from up top and you can kind of see the trajectory of all the different parts that are in motion, you're like, oh, okay, I just have to wait. I have to wait a moment. But when we're at ground level and we're in the middle of it, it's hard to see that perspective. It's hard to see what's around the next corner. You don't know. And so we put all our energy into like, well, what could be around the corner? And it's usually like the worst possible thing. And we think we're trying to prepare ourselves. And really in that moment, we're just freaking ourselves out. And that takes energy. It requires energy. It takes our energy. It doesn't leave us in a better place. And that's just on us. That has nothing to do with the parts. It's what we're seeing, what we're perceiving to be as a possibility. And there's so many possibilities out there. So why would you choose the worst possible possibility?
It's terrifying.
I mean, it's sort of how we're wired.
I mean, through meditation, I know how this is going to end up and resolve itself. It's just that my biggest issue I have now is patience, because it has gone on so long. That's my mm-hmm. biggest challenge right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
just
give it to sources time. You know, time is a man-made constraint, like traffic lights. Okay, we need it to maintain order and to minimize chaos. But it's the timing will end up making sense, not so much now, but later. Yeah, because we get so impatient, and I know that I didn't want to end up with the same result and spend a lot of money and have a lot of contention and have years. I just knew it. So that's why it took me 6-7 months. But that was a lot of Russian roulette. I took a lot of risks, because that whole thing that you're dealing with, which is more common, several years, so much money, lawyers involved for the same result. It's always darkest before the dawn. I feel like it's because you're at the final leg of the marathon and you're tired and you've fallen.
That's exactly how I feel.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You pooped yourself.
That's exactly
how
I feel.
It's not cute. It's not fun. It's not cute. You want to change your outfit? You haven't taken a shower? It's like, oh, please. Yeah, it's a marathon that's been taking 3 years now. But it's almost over. When's the court date?
I have a money court date September 25th, and
okay.
Then I have a contempt hearing October 30th, and hopefully the custody of the kids will be in front of the Superior Court judges mid-late November, hopefully not later than December.
Okay, so then,
wow.
So great. So then you say to yourself, this is all handled. By the end of the year, this is all handled. That's really not that far away from now. It's the last leg of the marathon. And you just tap in and remind yourself that this is an abundant universe. I've had to really surrender because I don't get formal child support or anything. Basically, since my kids are teenagers, if they need anything outside of utilities, food, and let me tell you something, teenagers, that food right there, that forget, all they do is eat.
Oh, my God, my 8 and 11
oh
are
my God,
boys.
Please.
And
they eat
breakfasts, three lunch, three dinners,
I
and
feel like
nine
I'm a good, I've turned into a gourmet chef because I got to keep it interesting.
Yes.
But between that right there and all of it, the right, all those things, and month to month, I never know because I am also in the entertainment industry behind the scenes, and that's not glamorous at all. It's treacherous and insane. And I really have to surrender every month. And when August came along, I thought, okay. And I surrendered, and it was amazing how in like 3 days, I knew things were coming in that I'd be okay for August, and I have a glimmer for September. So it's really meditation and surrender are your two best friends. So you already have the most challenging part of it, the discipline of meditation, where now it's not a chore, Jessica. Now it's routine, I would guess, correct? It's like a routine. Like,
correct.
That's the bet. When it can get into that realm where it's as routine as brushing your teeth, and that's how it's evolved for me also, as by necessity and for sanity. And if I don't meditate, and it's very rare that I don't, I feel off the whole day. So it's something that it's just built into my routine. So you did the most challenging part. You already have that routine and that discipline and that you need it. So now it's visualizing the surrendering to the light and your anchor, your fuel. Your source of fuel isn't money. Your source of fuel is love. Your source of fuel is loving yourself enough to forgive that your husband didn't know any better. And that's the toughest part, to forgive, and you're doing it for you. You're not doing it for him, but in your soul. And I was listening to Matt Kahn, who's amazing, on Hay House, and he said two things that really stuck with me. When you start feeling sad, that's when the ego takes a back seat. When it's just kind of like sadness, like, okay, that's when you're very much kind of like in recognizing where you've been and where you are and where you'd like to go. So it's very sacred. It's very humbling. So when you're sad, it's like the absence of the ego in a sense. And then when the love is no longer there, when you are no longer feeling it for that other person, it means that the soul contract with them has expired.
Oh, well, then that is the best news I've had in a long time.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, I just heard this the other day, and I felt so much better.
I feel
like,
very
okay.
Sad for him.
Yeah, I feel sad for my ex, too, because they're lost. They're lost. Right?
So lost.
So
lost.
So lost. And the thing is, you were not put on this earth to be the tour guide for their consciousness. And them putting in the work for their evolution doesn't mean to put it on you. Because when that happens, especially to a spouse, then they disappear. And that's what you and I both did. Because we thought we were doing the right thing. And when I said, this is when he was contentious about the apartment, and I said to him when things were really bad, I said, I disappeared. I need to learn to have a relationship with myself. I don't know how to love myself. Now, meanwhile, I'm the custodial parent. I'm meeting, like, all the basic physical and emotional needs of my kids, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, if you need to love yourself, why do I have to leave the apartment? I don't get the logic in that, but this is what I'm saying. So when you hear that, you kind of believe it, like, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. You don't deserve it. So coming out of those ashes, so it's too much energy, and it's you're leaking your field, your energetic field, Jessica. If you're thinking about the corrupt judge and the ex that's hiding money and all that, if you have a teammate in your lawyer, she needs to do the heavy lifting in that. You got to take care of yourself.
I mean, when I meditate, one of the many things I'll say to the universe is just please, you know, provide justice in the situation.
But it's not even about judging, because justice is
no
judging.
Justice.
I know what you're saying. Okay. I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, just surrender to the light. Just surrender. Let's go through justice and let's ramp that up to love.
Okay.
How does it feel inside when you hear the word justice and you hear the word love? Is there a difference?
Yeah.
Okay. So it feels a little more tight with justice, but light feels a little more spacious, I would guess. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that's in your best interest. So you allow more possibilities. The field of possibilities, that's what needs to be cleansed and purified. So when you meditate, I would also just claim the truth that it is an abundant universe. And you're in a place where there's lots of nature. Pennsylvania is, you know, pretty.
Yeah.
Mountains, whatever. And when you look at the sky and you look at the mountains and all those things, it's abundant. The trees aren't saying, oh, there's not enough. No, the trees are like, okay, I'm good. So tap into that natural force. That's what's going to get you through this last leg, this last hurdle of the marathon of your life. And that at least you're not still taking care of a spouse, right? That's the biggest thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's huge. And who do the children live with now?
Well, it's shared, and
okay.
He's getting more custody time in a couple days, and that's why it's gone to Superior Court.
Well, can you be comfortable with joint custody, shared custody?
It's not even shared anymore. I mean, she really ignored all evidence.
Okay, we're not going to get into a story. We're not going to get into that because it's a new day coming up. But moving forward, trust that it's gonna work out for everybody's best interest. The kids are also old enough to voice an opinion. So they prefer, you know, it's not gonna be that they're gonna dictate anything, but how they feel will have some
It's being completely ignored.
But you see, okay.
And not by me.
I know, but you haven't gone to court yet with this new situation. You just got this lawyer.
I have, not
okay.
with the lawyer, but I. That's
but
why I got the lawyer.
It's a new day. But the thing is, what I'm trying to tell you, and you're really not hearing me, is that you're still clinging. I don't know why you're still clinging to those facts when I want you to just explore a greater truth of what could be possible. Alisa, you want to help me here?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we're actually near close to the end of this time on the show, but again, when you just try to stay, well, not so focused on what has happened, but in your meditative state, you're very receptive. So just if you can apply that to the whole situation. It's almost like not having to just say, okay, well, this is what happened and this and this and this. And there's a lot of that And that's understandable because that's a frustration. But when you are being presented with some possibilities, then, and I know it's hard. This is like part of that training process of opening. In fact, I would say the biggest thing that came out of a lot of your discussions I was listening was having a sense of freedom. Like there's all those different dates that you're saying in the future, that's an opportunity for freedom, but you don't have to wait till then. Every day can be feeling that sense of freedom, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just when you're breathing. I mean, literally, with someone who has allergies, anytime I've been sick, I remember, like, remember the day before when I wasn't sick? I can remember how that felt. Like, oh, that was so much better. So I know I can get to that point. I know that that's how my body can be. So when we're looking at freedom, it's also freedom from all the clutter that's in our minds. And kind of always being geared. It's they're showing me so many different scenarios where we're so trained now to be on the defensive. We're so trained to, oh, well, this is because of this, this is what happened. And they're saying, you know, if you can expand that to allow for some possibilities that, well, you know, again, because you can't always know how things are going to play out. You don't always know. What you're doing is you're receiving like the no of everything. Like, well, they said no, she said no. And there's so many other variables still there that can happen. So if you can allow for people to I'm not saying allow for people to change because you never know, but allow for the situation to shift, then you would be more receptive to, okay, well, yeah, I guess, you know, anything is possible. If you could say anything is possible, then anything is possible. And it releases you from having to play back everything that's happened since then. Because what you're doing when you do that is you keep it on that same track. Because that's all you're going to be looking at. It's almost like, well, prove me wrong, but you kind of want to be proved wrong because you want something to change, but you're not expecting it. And it's so interesting because you will hold that same vibration. So even if something seems like to be offered to you and it seems okay, you're not going to trust it. There has to be a little bit of leeway. In fact, if you're not focused on that whole trajectory, and the only way right now, it seems like the only way you can get beyond that is through this whole process of meditating. But there's, in fact, I'm just taking big breaths. Like if you can take a breath, there's an expansion, you know, in just breathing in and breathing out. And there are times when as you're breathing and you're just releasing, your shoulders start to drop a little bit. You know, all the things you didn't realize you were so tense about, and that was just you're here in your body. It's your body, but you didn't even realize it. This is what I'm talking about. These are like little things that you don't have to focus your attention on it all the time, but sometimes just breathe. And when you breathe and you're doing your meditation, think about the freedom and the expansiveness.
That's
and
it.
The opportunities that come your way, because it's all kind of the same vibration. And it's something you do every day. It really is. So when you can switch it up a little bit, and it's not to ignore anything at all, it's to allow for other stuff as well, other
yep.
really nice stuff that you know. And it doesn't have to be fancy. Honestly, freedom is when I was feeling freedom for you, it was just really space. It was space. And not feeling so crowded or tense. And part of the allergy stuff, even if it is nature, you know, seasonal, but some of that can be alleviated from just not being so tense, and imagining space. Now, I've done this, and I know we're over our show limit, but I've done this before. I used to always get allergies. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. There's like a billion things blooming in the springtime, and it's beautiful, but you can't breathe any of it. And I had to do some stuff. I actually got some work done with one of my mentors on just, you know, energetically trying to go through this. But I used to do this where I would just breathe as stopped up as I was. I would just like, just try to loosen up it's interesting. It's like with my head and my around my my nose, and I would just try to breathe in and breathe out. And usually breathing out was okay, but breathing in was hard, right? So, but I would find that it would open up. Even me noticing it just a little bit made me happy because I could breathe that much more in. So it's interesting. I've tried those things, and it was just to play around and just anything for relief. And with you, anything for relief, anything for, you know, just to feel rested, to know that you can keep going, is gonna do wonders for you. It can, like I said, just like a good night, or even a power nap when you're just trying to get rest in anything, any bit of relief is good. And that's freedom. There's freedom in that. That's what we're looking at. So it isn't getting caught up in all the other details, because you're pretty good at that. I mean, most of our minds can kind of latch on to all that. But letting go of that and allowing for some other opportunities, allowing for other possibilities to come in there is how miracles happen. That's part of that surrender.
Anyway, we threw a lot at you. Download the show if you want.
Thank
to.
Thank you.
Hang the hell in there. I really get it. And it's just a breath and a step at a time. And I hope that this has helped you. And keep us posted. Give us a call back, Jessica.
I will. Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay. Let's sign off.
Yeah.
Well, we were busy. We worked the overtime shift. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great show's hosts and programming available to you. And this particular show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Thanks to all the callers who called in. Great conversation. Great guidance, Elisa. Fun, wonderful to listen to. And yeah, and as always, to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
That you like.